Welcome to the MVC Screencast Series, using ASP.NET MVC with Community Tools. Brandon Satram here, and this is Episode 4 on MVC Contrib. This and other screencasts from the MVC series are available at bit.ly/MVC screencasts. If you've been working with ASP.NET MVC for any length of time over the last 3 years, you might have heard the story of how ASP.NET MVC was first previewed to the community. In 2007, Scott Guthrie unveiled an early prototype of ASP.NET MVC to a group of developers at the Alt.NET conference in Austin, Texas. Scott Gu's unveiling of MVC generated a great deal of excitement and interest in what Microsoft was doing with this new web framework. And around this time, a couple of .NET community leaders, Jeffrey Palermo and Eric Hexter, decided to get involved. In 2007, just over 3 years ago, Palermo and Hexter created MVC Contrib. True to its name, MVC Contrib was created to be a set of extensions for use with MVC, with functionality and components that extend and complement the MVC framework. For most MVC developers, MVC Contrib is the first open source library we turn to when creating new applications. You can download the MVC Contrib binaries and source at mvccontrib.codeplex.com. One of the things I love the most about MVC Contrib is that it has created this symbiotic cycle between the .NET developer community and Microsoft. If you look over the history of the MVC framework and the MVC Contrib project, you can see a growing number of places where new MVC framework functionality was first introduced by the community and experimented with in MVC Contrib. In fact, the kind of community involvement that Microsoft is welcoming now in the NuGet project is in no small part thanks to the role that MVC Contrib has played in driving the MVC framework in the past. Not only has MVC Contrib provided a proving ground for features that could potentially be integrated into the MVC framework, but the project has garnered interest and involvement from Microsoft and has two formal project members who work for Microsoft. Let's get on with the demos and kick things off by getting MVC Contrib into the RazorLib application. RazorLib is a code sharing site that we're using as the demo application for this series. To use MVC Contrib, we first need to add it to our application. So we're going to visit mvccontrib.codeplex.com and then click on the Downloads tab, and we can take the latest release. At the time of this recording, that's the MVC 2 version, 2.096. There is an MVC 3 version. If you download the source code, you can build that yourself and use that in your application if you want. But for today, we're going to use the MVC 2 version. So we're going to click on the release zip, click I agree, and we're going to go ahead and open the zip file, and then extract that to the location of our RazorLib application. Then once that's done, we're going to go back to our application. And we downloaded the source because in order to use the MVC Contrib test helpers, we need to actually have that assembly. That's not yet available in NuGet, but the main MVC Contrib assembly is available in NuGet. And so rather than getting what we just downloaded, we're just going to do install package MVC Contrib. So this is the easiest way to get the main MVC Contrib assembly in your application. And we're going to add that very quickly to our site. You'll notice that assembly referenced here. In our unit test project, we're going to right-click Add Reference, and we're going to browse to the lib folder where we just unpacked the MVC Contrib assemblies, and we're going to grab mvccontrib.testhelper, add that to our application. Let's start our overview by looking at one of the most popular uses for MVC Contrib, the grid capabilities. I'm going to add the MVC Contrib grid to the Razor Helpers listing page. So this is the page as it stands right now. I have a series of helpers described. I've got about 12 on the page right now. I show the current name, the description, who the helper was created by, and then the date in which that was created. So I'm going to add the basic grid to my page. I'm going to add some sorting and some pagination as well. So we'll see what we have to start with. This is just the basic using the ASP.NET MVC template to display list item. So I show the column headings. I show each individual item. That's quite a lot of HTML just to do simple listing on the page. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight this entire table section. I'm going to replace that with the following. So you'll see I do a simple call to html.grid that references the mvccontrib.ui.grid namespace, and then pass in a series of columns. I pass in an expression for the ID, the name, the description, the created by, and the created date. So I can save that and now navigate to my page, and that'll display that for me by default. So now you'll notice a couple of things. The table is unformatted. I need to add some additional formatting to the ID column or make the name a hyperlink to the actual details page for that helper as well, so I can add some additional formatting. So in order to do so, what I'm going to do now is add a little bit of extra formatting that MVC Contrib provides that the grid provides for me. So one of the things that I'm going to do is on my name column, I'm going to change that to be a helper name column. I'm going to pass in html.actionlink. I'm going to specify the name as the actual name of the link. Navigate navigate to the details page and pass in the helper ID and then name that column helper name. So these are all fields, these are all actions that you can use on each of these columns. Still pass in the description of the created by, and then I'm also going to format the created date so you can actually pass in a format string for a column as you specify that as well. And then finally, because my default table did have some formatting to it, I can specify attributes on the table itself. So in this case, I'm going to specify the class as data table. Specify what's supposed to show up if the result is empty to fill the table. And then I also have the ability to specify something that happens on each start of a row. So what I'm going to do on each row start is specify a class name if I'm on an even named class. So that'll do the typical zebra striping for me. So I can save that, refresh the page. You'll see now that I've got the format. I have some of that zebra striping there. I have each individual item linked. So you can go to the details page and see each individual detail, right? And then I can, then you see I've also got the date formatted in a friendly way as well. Now I've got another even more terse option here for generating columns in the table. I can just use HTML grid and then call auto-generate columns. Now this is obviously going to be an ideal scenario if I'm using a view model instead of a specific model in my database. So if I have a very page or view specific view model, this is a nice solution, and I can also use attributes on my model to specify what shows up and what doesn't on the screen. So I can save that and run it again. And because I'm not using attributes and I don't have a specific type view model in this case, I'm going to get a lot more than I want to that shows up. But if you have something more compact, you can just make that simple call, and that saves you a whole lot of weight in the actual view itself to get a simple implementation. Now let's add some sorting to our grid. So I'm going to come into the index. I'm going to add a parameter to this called grid sort options. Call it sort. And now I'm going to add in an if statement here to specify what I do if a sort option is passed in. And so grid sort options is a type provided by the mvc-contrib.ui.grid namespace. What I can do is I'll automatically specify the column and the direction of the sort when I interact with the page. So I can specify if the column is not null, then I'm going to perform an order by on that type. And then I'm also going to want to make sure to add this current sort to view data, and then I can return the list. And so all I need to do in my grid is come back over and add an additional chain method call to the end that just specifies the current grid sort options based on the view data. And so that'll actually gives me the ability to specify what's being sorted currently and show that on the page. So I'm going to refresh the page. And now when the page shows up, you'll see that my column headers are hyperlinked so that I can actually change the sorting. And when I click on the description, you'll see that it passes a column and direction parameters into my controller action. So now you'll see that I'm sorting these by description. I also sort by each of these individual columns as specified, like created date as well. So that column name has now changed. So it's very simple to add sorting to your page using the grid. So the last thing that we're going to do, and using the MVC contrib grid, is add some pagination to our helpers list as well. So what I need to do to support pagination is add a simple nullable int parameter that specifies the page that's passed in. And then from there, what I can do is I'm going to create a new type, page the helpers, right? And so this I'm actually using an as pagination method, which allows me to specify the current page. One is the default, and then the number of records to return. And so that'll return me a new list of my helpers that are properly paged, and then I can pass that paged helper type in instead of the default helpers type. And so what I'll need to do now is come back to my page, and this will work by default, but in order to add paging controls to the page, I'll need to add this html.pager call as well, and you'll see that actually uses some of these types here, mvc-contrib.pagination and .ui.pager. So now I can save this, and you'll see now that not only is this paged to just 5 items, but I have this paging control at the bottom that shows the total, how many I have, and then I can click next. You'll see now that it adds this page, a query string parameter at the top. So now I'm seeing page 2, 6 of 10 of 12. I can click last to go to the final page and click all the way the first button to go back to the beginning. So that just scratches the surface of what's available in the grid in MVC Contrib. One of the more recent additions to MVC Contrib is the ability to create portable areas, a set of controllers, models, and views compiled into a single DLL, which can be dropped into your existing MVC applications. In this next demo, I'll show how to use the OpenID portable area created by John Nelson as the authentication mechanism for the RazorLib application. You can download John's OpenID portable area source at openidportablearea.codeplex.com. To get the OpenID portable area, I can either navigate to openidportablearea.codeplex.com, or I can use NuGet. I can open up the Package Manager console and type in install package OpenID portable area. And then once that installs, I have everything I need to get started. Notice in my site that the OpenID portable area depends on two things, MVC Contrib, which I already have, and the .NET OpenAuth assembly. So it adds both of those, and it pulls those into my application as well. So the first thing that I need to do is make sure that I'm calling area registration.register all areas. Because the portable area infrastructure is basically uses MVC2's areas underlying implementation, but also provides those, as the name indicates, as a portable assembly-based area, you need to make sure you are performing area registration. So that's the first thing that I need to do. And the second thing I need to do is go into my web config, and to use the OpenID portable area, change this authentication provider from my default account logon provider to use the OpenID, which is a controller action that is specified inside my portable area. MVC Contrib Portable Areas actually uses a bus mechanism for communicating messages between a consuming application and the portable area itself. MVC Contrib's Portable Areas provides me the ability to actually send messages back and forth using this bus. And so the way that I do that is actually by specifying message handlers and then using those in my application. So I'm going to actually add two different message handlers to my application to work with the OpenID portable area. And you'll notice that I'm adding this authenticated message handler, and I'm actually overriding that. That's one already provided by OpenID, this authenticated message handler, and that implements the portable area's message handler type, and also a claims request message handler. So the claims request message handler tells my OpenID provider that I require the email address and the full name, so that when that's actually passed off to the provider, the OpenID portable area turns around and tells the OpenID provider that that information needs to be sent back to the application. The reason I do that is because I want to use that information to actually log into my application, set my claim identifier into the session, and then return back to the home page with the user logged onto the site. Now, to add these message handlers to my application, I need to go into my global.asax. I need to type in MVC Contrib bus add all message handlers. This will find all the message handlers in my application and add those to the bus. Another change that I made to my application is I actually changed my logon partial to use this logon status widget HTML helper that's provided by the OpenID portable area. So that'll actually use the portable area to determine whether or not the user is logged on to the site. And once I've done that, I can run the site and I'm ready to go and log in. So I click on the login link, and this is now actually using the OpenID portable area to render this page for me. I'm going to use my OpenID. I have my OpenID account at bsatram.myopenid.com. I'll click login, and this at this point is going to use my handler to actually request certain information from myopenid.com. You'll notice here that it's actually requesting information from my profile. It's actually requesting email and full name. So it's showing me that information, and I can choose whether or not to request that and click continue. Now you'll notice that I've got a claims response message, and the claims response message includes the things that I want. It includes the full name and the email. You can see those two items here. I'm going to use each of those items to log into the site, add my information to the session, and then return to the home page. Here I'm back at the home page, and notice welcome Brandon Satram has been added to the page. So that's a simple implementation using MVC Contrib's portable areas feature and using the OpenID portable area, which is a really nice tool that you can check out at openidportablearea.codeplex.com. Now let's wrap up our overview of MVC Contrib by taking a look at some of the test helper functionality that can be leveraged in your MVC unit tests. So the first couple of things I'm going to show off are really more syntactical changes that you can make to your test, but a way that the MVC Contrib test helpers help you make things a little bit cleaner. So you'll notice in this test that one of the things I'm asserting is that the view name that I get back from the index action is the list action. So I can actually change this instead to use result.assertViewRendered. And so you'll see some of these assertions that are actually extension methods that are provided by the MVC Contrib test helper. So I can assert view rendered and then say for view list. So something that gives me a test that's slightly more readable, and I can go ahead and run that, and that's going to pass. So that's one quick thing I can do. There's another thing I can do to actually test redirect. Redirect tends to be a little bit trickier. Right? So one of the things you'll notice that I'm doing here is that I'm asserting the action route values to determine that the details method was actually provided to that route value. So I can write something just a little bit cleaner here, and result assert action redirect, and then say to action details. Again, syntactic, it's more of a personal preference thing, but it helps make the test a little bit more readable. So I can go ahead and run that now, and that test will also pass. class. Now, the third thing that I'm going to do is test some form variables in my application. So one of the things that I'm doing inside of this helpers controller is I'm looking for a form field outside of the model that actually specifies whether or not the helper has been marked for publication on the site. Right? So I'm looking for request.form. Now, as this method stands right now, my existing test, when it runs, it's going to fail because I have not properly initialized the HTTP request object. So my controller will ultimately fail at this point. So I can use this test controller builder type, which will initialize all of the nice internal members that I need, like the HTTP context and the HTTP request, so that I can properly test this controller and test anything that's passed in on it. So now what I can do is I can actually set that form field inside of my test. All right, so this helps to give a shortcut from some of the kind of stuff that you typically have to deal with yourself using whatever mocking framework you're using of choice. If you do this in MockU or RhinoMox or something like that, you would have a lot of setup work that you'd have to figure out yourself in terms of really getting the controller context right, getting the form fields set and things like that before passing that into the controller. So I'm going to do that, add that. What that's going to do now, inside, and then add a final assert to make sure that the route value published is actually set, right? So inside of my controller, I'm parsing that value, and then I'm actually passing that into the redirect. So I can go ahead and run this now, and that also worked. So then the last thing that I'm going to show is some route testing. So one of the things that MVC Contrib test helpers also give you the ability to do, which is a really nice feature, is to test some of your routes using your unit test. And if you've done MVC applications in the past, you probably know that one of the things that can be tricky at times, especially as your application gets complex, is figuring out routing problems, really knowing the right way to test, really knowing to making sure that your application is sending requests and routes to the right places. So what I can do inside of my test, inside of my setup, inside of this route test, is actually just clear the route table and add a couple of ignore routes, add my map routes. This is essentially the same routing information that I'm setting inside of my global ASAX, and then I can start to build tests for these things. So the first test that I'm going to create is a test method that tests just the default, one of the default routes. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to specify a call to home, and what I want to say is home should map to, and I specify the controller that maps to, should map to the home controller, and then I can pass in an action. And what I say is that's action, that should actually pass to the index action, and that's my test. So I'm making sure that a request that goes just to home should be mapping to the index action on the home controller. So I can run this now, and that will pass. So now let's add a second test for create. Let's create another test method. I'm going to just call this one public void foo. Come back and rename that later. And this, what I'm going to specify, that helpers.create should map to helpers controller, and the action in this case is action.create. I can run that, and that will pass as well. So some nice simple helper functionality inside of MVC Contrib to help you create better tests, more robust tests, more maintainable tests for your MVC app. That's it for this episode. There's a lot more to MVC Contrib than what I've been able to cover in this brief screencast, and new features are being added all the time. I'll cover some additional features in upcoming screencasts, but be sure to check out mvccontrib.codeplex.com to download the source and begin exploring MVC Contrib for yourself. We'll be taking a brief hiatus in January, and we'll kick the series back off in February with an overview of MVC Contrib's Watton test helpers, followed by Structure Map, Automapper, and T for MVC. And of course, this and other screencasts are always available for on-demand viewing and downloading at bit.ly/MVC screencast. I hope this has been helpful. If you have comments or questions, feel free to contact me via email, at my blog, or on Twitter. Thanks for watching.